It's Monday, March 18th, and you're listening to The Geek at Geek News Central, the longest continuous-running tech podcast, show number 844, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Get 35% off at GoDaddy.com by using promo code GO35OFF5. GO35OFF5. GNC is also sponsored in part by DYN. That's Dyn.com. Get 30% off their DNS and email products and services by using the promo code PODCAST30. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Hey, folks, got a great show lined up for you from a very chilly Bloomington, Indiana. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go, no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Todism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from Bloomington, Indiana via the Geek News Central HD mobile broadcast studio. And yes, school's back in here in Bloomington. The students are back at school. They survived St. Paddy's Day last night. They were out in force. It was evident by puking in the streets and massive drinking of green beer in the bars here in Bloomington. I flew in here last night and or yesterday afternoon via Delta, and it was the flight from, oh my God, I did not sleep. It was not necessarily a great flight. 5-hour layover in Atlanta for whatever reason. Other flights were coming into Indianapolis. I could have been on an earlier flight. They couldn't rebook me. It was just insane. So I got a taste of the good life. Got a taste of the good life on Delta. I so much look forward to being back on United for the rest of the year, and hopefully not have to be on Delta again. But I tell you, I want to give a warm welcome to the Johanna and listeners basically from around the world. Thanks for tuning in. And either if you're listening or watching, doesn't matter. Thanks for being here. And if I can get my muscle control down tonight on what I'm supposed to do here, I encourage you to definitely to get over to geeknewscentral.com and check out the website. And you'll want to get subscribed as well. It's real easy to do so. There's a second column of the website. There's links there on how to get subscribed to the show. And, of course, we got the newsletter as well. You want to get signed up for the newsletter. That way you'll never miss a single episode of the show. And that's really, really important to do that. And, of course, if you want to watch the show and if you're not watching live, you can do so via our channel on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, and Google TV. Of course, those are ways to watch. Of course, listening is probably the easiest, so we definitely want you to listen to the show as often as you can, and make sure you're subscribed, and that's a great way to stay connected. Another great way to stay connected is follow me at Geek News. You can do that real easy by just going over to Twitter and doing that. You can also email me, geeknews@gmail.com. That's the email address. It's hot off the press, ready for you to use. Our hotline is available 24 hours a day at 619-342-7365. Of course, we want to thank our sponsor here, GoDaddy.com, for being a sponsor of Geek News Central here. And I tell you, they've got a great offer for us, and this offer continues for just a few more days here. We got another week or so left. You get 35% off new products and services by using the promo code GO35OFF5, and make sure you use that code. And of course, we've got the $1 hosting as well. The hosting deal, $1 economy hosting per month for 12 months by using the promo code HOSTDEAL2. All those codes will be valid to be used on GoDaddy. And of course, if you want, all you have to do is to find all my codes is by visiting Geek News Central, and I'll show you guys how to do this right on the website. All you got to do is scroll down on the website, and you're going to find a link there that says GoDaddy promo codes. Click on that, and that'll get you dialed right in with all of my promo codes, all the offers, things that are made available. $295.com. They're still available for a limit of one this month, so grab that at $295. But lots of codes there for every occasion for you to use, and we want to encourage you to make sure you get over and grab those codes and use them as necessary. That way you will basically save a lot of money by our good friends over at GoDaddy.com. So anyway, just kind of catch you guys up here real quick. Saturday Morning Tech, this past Saturday, was fantastic. I had Rob Greenlee and one of the producers from The Verge. And really, I think if you go over and watch the show, and there's a lot of great content there. I was completely wiped out, but Chad Mumm was on from Vox Media / The Verge, and we spent an hour and a half, and it kind of started kind of slow, but then it got really good, talking about The Verge and their goals and stuff that they're doing. So any of you techies out there that are subscribed to the Verge.com website, and you basically are watching their RSS feed, and you basically subscribe to their shows, you can get some insight into what they're doing over there, and we want to encourage you to check that out. So that was one of our Saturday Morning Techs. If you haven't noticed, we've been having a lot of media personalities on, folks that are building networks. The last number of Saturday Morning Techs have hosted a variety of personalities, and if you're a content creator, you're going to want to subscribe to that, because the Morning Tech Show is really turning into something much more than a tech show, and I'm really excited about it. It's a mix, and we'll continue to shake it up. Now, one thing I have found to be very interesting down here today, I was off-site, away from the campus a little ways, and my cell phone had no signal. I have never been in a place where both the Sprint phone that I carry and also the Verizon LTE phone that I carry, there was absolutely no cell coverage. Of course, I'm there with my iPad, and I have my laptop and my mobile device, and, you know, I got to stay connected during the day, and nothing. It was just like this black hole. So I warned all my teammates this afternoon. I said, dudes, there was no cell connectivity where I was at. It's like this big black hole. I was outside holding the cell up in the air, moving it around, and it just wasn't happening. So I was, you know, talking with the staff. They're like, yeah, this is one of those locations that just falls into this, you know, like you said, like a black hole. But anyway, that was that. It kind of sucked with not having internet today. And of course, you know, when you're visiting someone else's facility, it's not like, hey, dude, can I like plug into your network and get email? It doesn't always happen. That's why I always roll my own. But did not happen today. So I came back to the hotel room tonight late. Got started show prep late, really looking to, you know, make up some lost time, and it was tough. And that's why we had a late start here to the show on the East Coast. So what I want to do here is I want to welcome back Citrix GoToMeeting as a sponsor to the show. I'm going to be back with us for a few weeks here and then on into quarter two. But I'm going to tell you, Citrix has got a great lineup of products, and GoToMeeting is one that I believe enables me to have a successful team. And successful teamwork is really the foundation for a successful business. And when you meet face-to-face, you know, you do work more effectively, but with clients and coworkers spread out across the globe and on the go, you know, coming together at times can be really impossible. And that's why I use GoToMeeting with HD Faces. It's a powerful and simple way to meet and collaborate online from wherever you are, whenever you need to connect. With GoToMeeting, it just takes a click, just a single click on your iPad or on your desktop to share the screen and work on documents in real time. And with a webcam, you obviously can see everyone in HD video, unparalleled HD video quality. And again, it's just like meeting in person. You can see the facial expressions and everything else. So again, it's really simple to launch or join a meeting from anywhere. Again, you can use your computer, phone, or tablet, and you can even present with your iPad. So share, you know, I use GoToMeeting on a daily basis, not today because I didn't have any connectivity, but you can use it virtually anywhere, anywhere that you have a connection to the internet. And you can try GoToMeeting free by basically doing these next following steps. And we get it free for you for 30 days. Don't wait for this special offer. Visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code PODCAST. Again, be sure to use the promo code PODCAST. GoToMeeting, meeting is believing, and GoToMeeting is a great product that I love and use, and I know that you guys will love the product as much as I do. I want to thank GoToMeeting for being an ongoing sponsor here at Geek News Central, and we hope that you give it a good try. So let me go ahead and look at the list here. I think I've got all my stuff done. I want to get right into the content because we are running late. I don't want to waste a lot of time tonight jibber jabbering. So we'll get in, and the emails keep coming in for people that want to win a Roku, but the Roku contest is over. So I may have to do something different. I have to do another one because it turned out to be a very popular thing to do is have this Roku giveaway. So I will look into it and see if it's within the budget. But anyway, enough on that. Let's move into the tech news. Prenda. I have to start right off with Prenda. You know, we've been talking about Prenda quite a bit, but panicked porn troll Prenda Law is now dismissing pending lawsuits. They are obviously running very, very scared. Their shell company, AF Holding, is dropping cases left and right. But I don't think this is going to escape the wrath of Judge Otis Wright. I think the judge is going to have fun with them, I guess, about a week from now. And a little over a week from now. But, you know, they've gotten the intention of the wrong judge and on the wrong side of him at this point. But it looks like they're trying to bail, and they're dismissing these cases with prejudice, which could raise some questions as well. Basically saying, hey, we're not going to go after him again. We're done. So we'll see where this leads. But they're definitely running scared. Now, in an interesting bit of news, this made it on national headlines as well. Gagging recipients of national security letters have been found unconstitutional. This ruling that went against the Patriot Act provision is a major setback for FBI, Department of Homeland Security, and so forth. But a California federal judge struck down a key provision of the law governing the national security letters, which was a controversial government subpoena, whose use was expanded by the Patriot Act. Basically, when people got one of these subpoenas, they were basically many times bound for life not to say anything. So I'm sure this will make it to the Supreme Court, as we expected some other cases to do so. But initially, finally, someone's basically standing up and saying, hey, people have, you know, there is a, you know, Bill of Rights, there's the Constitution of the United States, there's some previous precedent being set, so at least this is, in my opinion, probably a good ruling for the country. We will see where it leads. But at the same time, the GPS tracking, which the government said they didn't need a warrant to do, but what was struck down by a court, is now being prepared to, and this was the administration basically maintains that the position, despite the Supreme Court's infamous decision last year that concluded that GPS devices amounted to search protected by the Constitution, they are actually set to make an argument Tuesday before a federal appeals court in a case testing the parameters of the court's 2012 decision. So if the government prevails, the high court's ruling would be virtually meaningless. I'm like, what do you mean? The Supreme Court of the United States has ruled that it was unconstitutional, that they could not put a GPS device on a vehicle without a search warrant. But yet, the president is set to make or the president's administration is set to make an argument again tomorrow before a federal appeals court testing the parameters. I'm just shocked. And So the questions of whether probable cause warrants issued by a judge are needed is an open one because the Supreme Court stopped short of answering it. The court ruled in January 2012, again, that attaching device amounted to constitutionally protected search because it was a trespass on private vehicle. So now they are going to go after certain provisions of that. So this is crazy. It really, really is. So we'll see what happens here. But at least that standing stands. We'll see if this outside parameter makes any delta on the Supreme Court ruling. But, you know, come on. You give it up. If you need to put a GPS tracker in someone's vehicle, go get a warrant. Let's just do that. Why not go get a warrant? If you got a case against someone, go get the warrant and then stick it on the vehicle if the judge signs the warrant. You know, if they want to search my house and kick the door in, they have to go get a warrant. If they want to search my car after I get pulled over, I have to give permission, or they have to go get a warrant. There are some exceptions to that. But, you know, let's be honest. It's, you know, we are afforded a certain amount of protection, and the government should be held and should be made accountable and be forced to do that. Three big things here in the legal tech law space, I guess is what I want to call it. You know, you got these trolls that are trying to, in my opinion, abuse the court system. You've got this ruling now by a judge saying that recipients of national security letters are not necessarily gagged for life. And you got now this, this appeal or whatever this, you know, their attempt here to actually get the Supreme Court ruling nullified, which I find incredible, on this GPS device tracking on vehicles. So, I am nowhere near claim to be any type of a legal authority, but once the Supreme Court basically says it's unconstitutional, that should be it. But yet they're going to find some little sentence that wasn't declared by the Supreme Court, and they're going to go after it and try to find a way in between those lines. It's crazy. I just hope it goes back to the Supreme Court and the Supremes just slam the administration, say you want to put a GPS tracker in a vehicle, go get a warrant. And, after all, you're going to put something like that in a person's vehicle. Wouldn't you think that they would have enough information to be able to persuade a judge to sign a warrant? So anyway, that's enough on the legal front tech type of stuff. All right, Google has basically slipped today, and they accidentally unveiled a quote-unquote Evernote-like Google service, but it appears Google's prepping to launch a cloud-based note-taking service to compete with Evernote and SimpleNote. Now, this was according to a citing by Android Police, Google briefly went live with a service called Keep that appeared to be designed for content captured and integration within the company's cloud storage service Drive. So they're saying that the Google Keep bears some similarity to the retired Google Notebook, and which was a retired service that was used for capturing and collecting research and personal notes. So we'll see if this ever makes the light of day and if Google was about ready to announce it, but yet somehow made it public for a short time. You know, Microsoft OneNote, I used it for a number of years, but, you know, I really didn't find it that compelling to even use it as a note-taking type of quote-unquote product. But, SpringPad and Evernote continue to grow in popularity, so maybe Google thinks that they can come in and entrench on that a little bit as well. All right, let me go ahead and switch gears here. And this is a topic that all of us should pay attention to. But it said one-third of U.S. drivers may have subconscious death wish and are texting while driving. A CDC survey finds 31% of us are admitting to driving while texting within the last month. Come on, folks. That's crazy. You're going to kill yourself, kill someone else. You're going to get in a wreck. Those of you that have been texting in your vehicles, please try to tell me that you have not yet had a close call when doing that. You know, let's be straight up. It's, you cannot do two things at one time safely like that. You have a conscious thought to basically type out where you have to look at the phone and text somebody while driving your vehicle down a road. You know, you're asking yourself to run in a ditch, hit a tree, run over someone's mailbox, hit another car, potentially kill somebody. You know, let's be smart out there. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be straight up. If you get in an automobile accident today, and the police or the other driver have any sneaking suspicion that you are doing texting while driving, and if you kill somebody, you know, you're going to go away. You're going to do a lot of time. It's going to be negligent homicide. Because you were willfully doing something that you probably should not have been doing at the same time. You know, it's not going to bode well for you legally. And, you know, if you don't kill someone and you hurt someone, then, you know, there's probably going to be lawsuits. You know, it's not a road you want to go down for doing a text. If you need to do a text, pull off the where you're at, find a safe place to park, do the text, and then get back on the road. You know, it's that big a deal. I just find it incredible. Now, the study also included a similar survey by European drivers conducted in June of 2012. By comparison, drivers in most of the countries covered by the study were much less likely to text, or at least less likely to admit texting while driving. Only Portugal matched the U.S. in texting while driving behavior. Give it up. Tell people to wait. You know, tell them to wait. You know, it sucked today being without a cell phone all day, largely because there was no connectivity, but it was not the end of the world. I had basically updated my message in my phone saying that my coverage would be spotty, that I would be in meetings. If you needed to reach me, leave me an email or leave me a voicemail. People don't like to leave voicemails, but a few people did. Looking at the missed calls, it's not a big missed call list. You know, so guess what? I lived without my cell phone for 8 hours while working with a client today. You can too. It is possible, okay? There's an article over in Business Week, and I don't want to continue to beat a dead horse, but the death of Google Reader is a social news win. And it just, boy, just my teeth just want to grind when I read this. And some people say, oh, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. Reader's gone. You've got Twitter, and you have Facebook, and you have Google Plus. And I don't go to those sites for news. You know, I largely do not. And I guess maybe because I don't build lists, and I don't have everything segregated into these neat little piles. You know, I just don't. I don't think it's a way to. And it, stuff moves too fast. I miss stuff. I'm not on Twitter 24/7. I'm not on Google Plus. I'm, you know, I just don't do it. I have to have another way to be able to, you know, get news that's been, you know, put out there that I can read a day later if I have to. You know, that's the main thing here. I guess that's the, you know, the gist behind this. It's just, okay. You want your news from social media, rock on, knock yourself out, and have a good time. I don't think that it's for me. Oh, by the way, I want to just discuss also no green screen tonight, and largely because I was weight limited in my luggage. I had to stay under 50 pounds for each box, and the portable broadcast studio is 49 pounds. My suitcase with a normal week's worth of clothes is right at about 50 pounds, and I had to, you guys know that I use a CPAP machine, so I had to carry my CPAP machine on in my, basically did my pull-behind roller bag with my laptop and stuff. But the normally what I do is I carry my green screen on versus the CPAP machine, because I can pack the CPAP machine into the suitcase and be a few pounds over on the suitcase and not get penalized by flying United, but I had to be at 50 pounds in each bag. Still cost me $60, but it was basically one of those situations where I just did not have room to carry it. And I have to think about that if I get into this situation again, but that's the reason for no green screen in the hotel tonight. DRM, boy oh boy, DRM strikes again. Digital comic distributor J-Manga is closing down. And what they're doing is, if you've done business with them, you'll be happy to know that they're deleting everyone's purchases. You're not able to download any of the digital comics. They're basically saying, thank you for your business, but screw you very much, because we're not going to give you access to what you've bought. And because it's locked in DRM, it's bye-bye to your data. So another reason why to avoid services that use DRM. And that'll become a new three-letter swear word. All right, the folks over at Wired are predicting five products that could disappear, could be on Google's next killing spree. And I read through these, and I was doubtful on several of these. Number one, Google TV. They think they could kill Google TV, and I'm just like, I don't think they're going to. Google Groups. I could see where they potentially could kill Google Groups. Blogger. I don't think they could. I think the uproar of them killing Blogger would be bigger than what happened with Reader. Google Offers. I could see that being killed. That's a Groupon competitor. And they're saying Google Apps. I don't know how they could. There's a lot of us that pay for Google Apps. So I don't know how they could just say, okay, we're going to kill Google Apps. I don't see how they would do that. Google Apps is a great service. Basically, my email, all my email is served through there on all my domains. I don't have to run a SMTP server. I don't have to keep the virus definitions up to date. That's Google's in charge of that. And I pay them a nice little fee every month to do that. Now, they only make about $1 billion in annual revenue, but I'm going to tell you, I think it's a great product. It ties into Google Drive and everything else. So Google Apps, I don't think they'll kill. But I think the other product that they could kill is definitely FeedBurner. I think that could be on the chopping block. All right, you just had to know this was coming. Electronic Arts CEO John Riccitelli has resigned. Oh boy, you know, they had a pretty rough go of it here in the launch of SimCity. And the company's changing leadership, with the CEO basically submitting his resignation. So he's stepping down on March 30th, and that Larry Probst, the current chairman of the board, and CEO of the company before him, has been appointed the executive chairman, effective immediately. And boy, oh boy, they have basically took a shotgun to him, and they just got rid of him. I'm sure they've told him, you have to go. Wow, it's really, really nuts. He says, my decision to leave EA is really all about my accountability for the shortcomings in our financial results this year. It currently looks like we will come at the low end or slightly below the financial guidance we issued to the street, and followed short of the internal operating plan we set 1 year ago. And for that, I am 100% accountable. Well, the SimCity launch hasn't helped. You know, they're not going to sell as much stuff as... It's crazy. Now, they have a fiscal year that ends on March 30th, and boy, oh boy. that's the last day. It's another whack at EA. I think a few more heads are going to be split over there before this is all over. I really do. It's not the end. They have blown this in a big way. Switching gears to the TV front, Verizon is in talks to charge for TV channels based on real-time viewing. Sign me up for that one, because the TV does not come on hardly at all during weekdays. Comes on a little bit on Saturday and Sunday to watch movies. Please let me sign up for that. You know, that can you imagine if we just paid for viewing? Can you imagine if we could do that? Some of you leave your TV on 24/7. It's your companion. But this would be a win-win strategy, and would be really incredible if they were to push through. I wish them good luck. I just can't imagine them getting that through their system whatsoever. But at least that's the news. Hey, a little tech news from Geek News Central, from my writing team at geeknewscentral.com. Let me flip the switch here. Great article by Tom Wiles talking about the Roku 3 and how video podcast behaving like TV. Talks about an app that's on there. It's called Film Riot and some other apps that they've used to be able to watch a podcast consecutively or listen consecutively. So that's a pretty cool feature. I didn't know that was actually available. I actually was talking to my team at Raw Voice about that and making sure that if we can implement that on our channels, we will. It's because you can do like start with a, you know, two or three episodes back and just play continuously through is very, very cool. So definitely check that article out by Tom. Of course, that's Trucker Tom. Of course, Feedly has been taking advantage of the Google Reader stupidity, or basically the Google stupidity. And they've had an influx of more than 500,000 new users in the first 48 hours. Had to add a whole bunch of servers and bandwidth. So good job by the Feedly team for basically keeping things on. And we'll see how well they do in their disconnect when July 1st hits with the with basically the changeover at with the reader being pulled, with the plug being pulled on. Of course, don't want you to forget about the talked about this a little earlier. Basically the interview. Okay, see that? Those of you who are watching, see that little thing right there where that and that non-smiley face is. It is basically Flash has crashed on the Chrome browser. Happens quite a bit when I open a bunch of windows, but definitely have these links up in the show notes for you to check out. Hey, I do want to remind you, of course, Dyne.com is still a sponsor here at Geek News Central. And for 13 years, you know, they've been really bringing and building their reputation and have built it to be the best in the world for managed DNS and outsourced DNS. And their goal is simple. They help websites with best-in-class uptime and keep web traffic to those sites flowing and fast. And companies like Twitter, Zappos, Netflix, CNBC, Salesforce.com, StumbleUpon, Pandora, Bleacher have all used and do use Dyne.com as their DNS provider, doing great amount of fantastic services and, of course, email deliverability as well. And you can even register a domain through Dyne for as low as $5 a year, too. But definitely check out Dyne.com for DNS and email services. It's a great choice, and you can save 30% on your order over there by using the promo code PODCAST30 on the DNS and email products and lines. So definitely check it out. And Dyne has been working with us now for a couple of months, and I'm really pleased with their services. As a matter of fact, I have a Dyne Dynamic DNS running on this particular machine that I have right here that I'm showing the screen on, helping me be able to manage and get into my servers when I need to as a part of a security feature. But anyway, definitely check Dyne.com and use that promo code PODCAST30, or you can just go straight to the Dyne.com/PODCAST30 page link and enter some information there, and they'll get back with you on their products and services. So we want to thank Dyne for being a sponsor here. And again, don't forget to go over their website and check things out. All right, AT&T, boy, oh boy, oh boy. They just have a tendency to rub people the wrong way on a continual basis. So AT&T makes it cheap to connect tablets as long as you don't own a phone. And what they've done here is they've dropped the price on mobile data on its shared plans. Now, this is important, on its shared plans. But again, there's a catch. The discounted plans are data only, meaning no smartphone users need apply. And the new data plans start at $30 a month for 4 gigs and scale to $335 for 50 gigs a month. Consumers can up to 10 devices to their plans, each tablet or gaming device costing $10 a month, and each laptop or modem costing $20. So let's think about this for a second. You can have an AT&T MiFi. That's one. You can have two tablets. That's okay, so that's 20 for the MiFi. Tablets each will be 20 each. That's 40 total. And then you got to pay for the bandwidth. So if you need to share that across three devices, that's 70. So $70 for essentially four devices and 4 gigs. Is that a good deal? let me think about this for a second. So currently on my iPad, and let me think, how much do we pay? It's on Verizon. I pay a little over $30 for 2 gigs. That's a pretty good deal. If I could have a couple of more devices, so I'm paying $60 now, I could essentially add a couple of devices and be at one device and be at $70 at 4 gigs. Definitely worth a look. But when you compare the new data plans to its regular data share pricing plans, the differences are substantial. A 4-gig plan on a regular mobile share plan costs $70 a month, $40 more than the equivalent data-only plan. At higher tiers, the discounts is just as big. 20 gigs of regular share plan costs $200. So this is a pretty big discount. And makes it very interesting on how the pricing is going to be. But you can take this all the way to 50 gigs. 50 gigs a month will cost you $335. Now, let me tell you a little secret here. That is an interesting proposition because the data is getting close to being you're going to think, who would pay $335 for 50 gigs? If I can ramp it up to 50 gigs for 1 month and pay $335 and get 50 gigs, I can basically do the CES coverage with a mobile card and probably get away with it. Without having to, what we could do is during prime time, we could ramp the data rate up, run a high data rate during prime time hours, then scale back to a lower data rate for evening hours. And for 50 gigs, I probably could get away with one. Now, $335. Okay, so not bad. Let's say I need two. Let's say I needed to go $370. $670. It's still cheap compared to the nearly $6,000+ I paid for my data connection through Smart City at the Las Vegas Convention Center. So still 10 times cheaper if I have to buy 2 data plans, get 100 gigs of traffic. If long as it's I can ramp it up and ramp it down. And last time at CES, the data held pretty good. Oh man, it's almost worth the roll of the dice to try to see how well it would work. I'm sure it wouldn't be perfect all the time, but boy, it's really, really tempting. It really is. And for companies, you know, that have 15 people on a plan, that shared data plan is pretty cheap for that $335, so it makes sense for businesses as well. All right, we've been covering, and let's move topics here. We've been covering for a while on this show, talking about the Dish, specifically Andrew Sullivan's Dish, has lowered the paywall. Basically, they're making a change to their site, basically saying that if you go over and read a story on the Dish, you're only going to get to be able to read 5 free articles in 60 days. And what they were finding out was people would read five articles in 30 days before, but they would sign people were doing 5 articles on their iPad, 5 articles on their mobile device, and 5 articles on their laptop, 5 articles from work, and people weren't basically donating for the show, or donating for the for the site, and they've raised $644,000 in revenue, basically since going to a pay-only model. They need to raise about $900,000 a year in order to make all expenses and not lay people off. Now, they've tightened the meter up and are trying to basically push people into a pay situation. And when I was flying out, I was listening to Adam Curry's No Agenda 2 episodes ago. They were talking about their pay model, and I guess I missed the episode where Adam kind of went off a little bit, but he says, hey, you know, we're doing nearly 3 hours of content twice a week. We're working like dogs. We're putting together, one heck of a program for you, And basically, we're telling people, hey, you're listening to this show. It's work. This is, you know, we don't have any sponsors in the show. And we are, you know, we're looking for $5 a month. And so they kind of explain their process and, you know, asking people to donate and why, and, you know, understood the value that they were getting. And I had a tendency to kind of go, yeah, I agree with a lot about what he's saying. Now, in this show tonight, what have you heard? You've heard three advertisers. Probably took 6-7 minutes of the content up tonight. And largely because the show runs and I'm able to keep my, essentially keep the lights on and have a little extra margin when we run three advertisers. I don't like to run three advertisers. And matter of fact, I'd like to have the show down to maybe one advertiser. And this is where, you know, we can't do that, in at least my position at this point. I just want you guys to know I'm not begging for money, but what I'm just saying is I can't do that. I can't move the show to a one advertiser situation until basically the audience is able to replace the revenue from one other advertiser. And, you know, that's really the basics of it. You know, and you know, I have an Adams basically telling, hey, $5. And, you know, I mean, basically telling you guys it's a 6 or 7 cents a day proposition to come in here at $2. And let me be straight up. If even half of the audience, just half of the audience came in at $2 a month. No, let's say a third. If a third of the audience came in at $2 a month, I wouldn't have to have any advertisers. None. Zero. I'd have to have zero advertisers, and I could easily hire a full-time person to assist, and we could really ramp up the content. You know, that doesn't, you know, you think to yourself, you know, okay, third of the audience, $2 a month, and we're not talking about a huge amount of money. But, you know, we've had the Insider Program for a while now. It hasn't gained a lot of traction, and I don't know if it ever will. I'm just being straight up with you guys. We've run the advertiser model on this show from the beginning, and maybe everyone's just used to that. And maybe they're happy with that. Maybe that's fine. But, you know, it's not where this show, it doesn't take work. It does. You know, you guys know I lock out Mondays and Thursdays for you guys. I'm happy to do that. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. I'm not, you know, whining like a little child. I don't want to come across that way. But, you know, I do this readily to put the show out every Monday and Thursday night and be able to put good stuff on from CES and everything else we do. And it wouldn't be possible. Believe me, it would not be possible without the advertisers to do all the extra stuff that we do. And but I want to appreciate those that are insiders that have come in, signed up. I appreciate your contribution every month. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. But, you know, it was kind of interesting to hear Adam's take. And they've been, you know, advertiser free from the very, very beginning. And again, they do 2.5 hours. I don't know if I could do 2.5 hours per show by myself. That seems a little over the top. I don't think you guys would listen to 2.5 hours straight of just me blabbering, but it is interesting to hear Adam show the dynamic that they have going on. But anyway, I'll shut my mouth here before you guys start sending me hate mail. Let's move on to the next tech topic. And I do see one of our insiders in the chat room. Dale, thanks for being an insider on the show. Okay, Leo Laporte's Twit is taking on YouTube with a new show. Congratulations to Leo. Leo's teamed up with YouTube's Lamar Wilson for a new show called This Week in YouTube. The show is another sign of our Twit has come here. And so they're going to do this new YouTube show covering the most interesting YouTube news stories of the week. In addition, they'll analyze a viral video, which is pretty cool. So look forward to seeing what they come up with on this show. And you know, as an online network, Twit has been pretty platform agnostic, and we are the same way. This show is the same way. I want to be where you're at, and that's why this show is put up on YouTube. It's put up on all the devices, set-top boxes included. We want to be where you're at, and all glass, and that's really important, whether it be audio or video. So congratulations to Leo, and look forward to seeing this show that he's going to put out. All right, forget the cell phones. As far as the cell phone fight about being able to unlock something, the folks over at Wired are saying, hey, we need to be able to basically to unlock everything. And, you know, so there's a cartoon on the website that basically says you're under arrest for circumventing a technology measure that controls access to this tire. It looks like you'll be needing a new car. And I had to laugh because if you think about how technology is embedded today, and they are dead spot on with this commentary that property rights issues in conjunction with copyright is a big issue. You've got farmers now who are buying new equipment, and example, a guy by the name of Kerry Adams, this article over on Wired, Kerry Adams, a family farmer in Santa Maria, California, recently bought two transplanter machines. Now, I have no idea what a transplanter machine is, but it sounds like something that does some sort of special planting. At about $100,000 a piece. Now, for farm machinery, that's actually pretty cheap. I think average combine now is close to $1 million. But they broke down soon after he bought them, and he had to fly a factory technician out to fix them. Why? Because the manufacturer copyrighted the service manuals so that local mechanics could not fix the equipment. And with today's equipment being full of sensors and electronics, it's often too complex to repair this type of gear without them. Imagine having a car and basically taking it to a local repair shop that you've done business with for 25 or 30 years, and you roll in and say, hey, I need a tune-up, and the mechanic's saying, hey, can't do it. I don't know how to check the diagnostics. I can't, the manufacturer hasn't released the manuals. Maybe I can twiddle with it and figure it out, but no guarantees. In September of last year, mechanics in Massachusetts basically proposed and got through a bill called Right to Repair, the Right to Repair legislation designed to level the playing field between dealerships and independent repair shops. And under the rallying cry, if it's your car, you should be able to repair it where you want, voters passed the bill by a whopping 86% margin. So basically, this requires manufacturers, at least in Massachusetts, to release service information to car owners and service technicians. So legislatures in Maine are picking up as well. So, you know, all of this, those types of legislative affairs are probably a step in the right direction. But as long as Congress focuses just on unlocking cell phones, they're missing really the larger point here. You know, senators could pass 100 unlocking bills, and companies are going to find some way to keep their devices closed and not allowing repair. Computer companies are to blame just the same. Camera shops are running into these issues. You name it, if it's got a sensor, piece of electronics, or something in it that's tough to fix, they have a couple of choices. One, they can buy the equipment and try to reverse engineer it themselves and try to figure out how to fix it. Number two, they still run into problems because they can't order parts. They say, oh, you have to come through an authorized repair shop, either whatever the manufacturer may be, and you can't even buy the parts. Oftentimes what will happen is the part number will have been maybe reprinted on a part that basically gives it a an IP, in other words, intellectual property part number, where there's no cross to where they got it from in a national stock. So, for example, let me just use a pencil as an example here. So, let's say you needed to replace the lead ball that was in this pen. Now, you wouldn't do that, obviously, but the manufacturer put its own part number on there, 123. But the actual company that provided the lead pen ball would have a part number of ABC. Unless you knew that that lead ball came from that particular company, you wouldn't know how to order it. So that's one of the ways that companies keep consumers from being able to get stuff repaired, is because people don't even know how to order a part. Recently, this past Christmas, give an example. We had a brand new ceiling fan my wife bought. It was beautiful. My son and I put it up. We had it running high speed in the bedroom. Everything was good. I was happy. Everything was working. And then my son and I did a boneheaded thing. We were putting the mattress back in the bed and we had it up on its side. And guess what we did? We whacked the fan whacked the mattress. We weren't even thinking, and it bent one of the blades. I mean, it wasn't 10 minutes install and we bent a blade. Well, you're thinking about a ceiling fan. What are you going to do? You know, you're going to, like, do you take it back and say, I was a knucklehead. I just broke the ceiling fan. I'm sure Home Depot wouldn't have appreciated that. So my mom was there at the time, and she started doing some detective work. And after spending a number of minutes and quite a bit of time on the phone, finally got to someone and got a part ordered. And they were nice enough. They shipped it. They didn't even make us pay for the part. We basically let them know what happened, and I guess they felt sorry for us, and they sent us, you know, a piece, one little piece that, you know, was probably cost them a buck to stamp out. And yet for me, it was $300 ceiling fan I was going to have to replace for being an idiot. But it took us a while to find that part number. You know, so that was just for a stupid ceiling fan. Nothing that was like $1,000 camera lens or something like that. So it's something we have to keep aware of. And you need to ask when you buy something, what is the repairability of this specific item? And that will help you in being able to make wise choices in the stuff that you buy. There's a very stunning view of Google having a street view from the top of the world. I'm going to save it for the show notes. You guys can check it out. But Google seems determined to map every square inch of the planet, and on Monday released a street view image from the seven tallest mountains on Earth, and very, very cool. So you guys can check these out. Some pretty awesome views from up there, and that Google basically owns and made available to the public. All right, finally, the Supreme Court has okayed a $222,000 verdict for sharing 24 songs. The Supreme Court today let stand a jury's conclusion that the infamous file share Jamie Thomas Rosette, she has to pay the recording industry $222,000 for downloading and sharing 24 copyrighted songs on the now-defunct file sharing service Kazaa. $222,000 for 24 songs. I'd play those 24 songs 24/7 and annoy my neighbors in the process. $222,000. Think about that. That's a lot of 99. That's 222,000 songs at 99 cents a piece in the iTunes store. All right, in some news it was news. FBI takes the internet in search of stolen artwork worth $500 million. On this date, 23 years ago, two individuals entered the Gardner Museum in Boston as disguised as police officers. After tying up the security guards, they spent 83 minutes raiding the facility and emerged with 13 pieces of priceless art. The FBI is thinking those pieces are trying to be sold now and have actually had some press releases today, but they're informing the public and trying to get these pieces of art found and at some time maybe arrest of those suspects who they are saying are part of organized crime. Apparently this morning Google Drive had a little bit of a service outage, so if you had a problem getting on Google Drive, that was what was going on. Those of you that are gamers out there, I'm not a big gamer at all, not at all, matter of fact. And yet, today, people are having some pretty big reviews of a new, it's called the Turtle Beach XP. It's a 7 Series headset. It's a new era, according to the folks over at Engadget, of tournament-grade gaming audio. And this way this thing is written up, it looks like the folks over at Engadget may have gotten 100 of these. But pretty good reviews. So if you are a gamer and you're a hardcore one at that, you'll definitely want to check out the 7 Series headset. And pretty slick. Better keep this review away from my son Ray, because he'll definitely want one of these. And also, for those of you that are running Windows 7, compulsory upgrades to Windows 7 Service Pack 1 will start rolling out tomorrow. So if you've been dragging your heels when it comes to that Service Pack 1 upgrade, prepare to get an extra dosage of encouragement from Microsoft. Starting tomorrow, the company will be beginning a SP1 via Windows update to all neglected PCs. And just so you're aware, the update won't require your consent. The push will happen a phased rollout over the next few weeks. And as far as the consequences of not upgrading, Microsoft will no longer support Windows 7 RTM as of April 9th. So, you know, obviously, if you can probably deny the update, but if you're on auto update, it's coming, and you have nothing to do to stop it unless you change the settings in your computer. All right, that wraps it up for regular content today. Let's see if I can open email and see what we had that came in. I don't think I did. I had not opened email. So let me, what happened here? Okay, was chat off for a while? Hey, everyone. So I guess we're still online on chat. Well, that's good. All right, so let me look at today's date. Today is the 18th. Last show was on the 14th. All right, I know where to go. So I get an email here from Alex. Yeah, Alex, sorry you missed the Roku event, but he said, "Hey, Todd, I'm a regular listener of your show. Now, for a little over a year, you're one of the only podcasts that made it that long in my podcatcher. I really enjoy the content of your show. Keep it technical and not too technical. In contrast to some of the other podcasts I listen to, it is nice. I can listen to it in the background and I don't have to pay full attention to the technical details of to get the gist of the content." You know, that's one thing I've tried to do, and if I get too geeky on you, please tell me, because I've always tried to break the show down and give it common man type of commentary. And that's one of the things I've tried to do with the show. He says, "One of the things I enjoy most about your show is when you explain new laws, bills are coming to effect or being proposed and how they'll have an effect on the geek community. Keep up the great work, Alex." Yes, Alex, apologize. You did miss the deadline. Got an email here from Melvin. He says, "Hey, Todd, I'm going to miss Google Reader. I already transferred to Feedly, but it ain't the same. Rather slow and clunky. I'll look forward and hope of a more Google-like experience developed by someone else." And this was Mel in Honolulu, Nay. So, Mel, thanks for being a listener here of the show from Honolulu. Got an email from DJ. He said, "Hey, Todd, I too was a heavy user of Google Reader and use a PC exclusively. Do you know yet what reader you'll be switching to? I'll probably be using Feedly. Love the show, DJ." Yeah, DJ, I think that's where I'm going. I think I'll be going to Feedly at this point. And one thing that we've also found out is that, and this was, I think Jeff had sent me an email. We talked about this on the last show, but we've gotten contacted by a number of folks that have podcatchers. And little did we know that a lot of podcatchers are using the Google Reader API as their back end. Now, to the person using the app, you would never know. You add the feed to your podcatcher, and it looks all transparent to you. But folks are basically having their feeds being updated by Google Reader. You never saw it, but it's happening. So last week we had 3 calls from podcast developers really looking for help. And we made a decision on Friday to basically open up our API and basically allow those podcatchers that are getting thrown to the curb by by Google Reader, basically not having this back-end interface to fill that data. So then, basically, when you subscribe, someone still has to pull that RSS feed. Some of the apps work internally where they just update themselves, but there are other apps that basically use the Reader infrastructure so that when you're updating, you're actually getting the update from Google Reader site, even though you don't even know it. So we're going to open up our API and make it available. And we've talked to 3 developers, and they've said, "This is what we need to make this happen." Angela's got that scheduled to be coded, I think, starting sometime next month. And we've already got an API with the majority of the data there. So if you're using a podcast app and you are worried about it continuing to work after reader close, reach out to the developer and let them know that we are going to be opening up the API to help those podcatchers out there, iOS, Android, Windows Phone, that are using the API of Google Reader to populate the feed, or actually to keep it current, I guess is the better word. Let them know that we're going to be opening up our API, and we'll be adding servers to be able to do that and fill a need that is coming here. They're not going to have to worry about maintaining hardware. They're not going to put servers online. They're not going to have to build a syndication engine. We already have all that already. It's already built. We're not going to get into the reader business at all, but we're going to get into feed updates and feed syndication and making it available so people can continue to subscribe to the feeds they have and not have to worry about having that back-end infrastructure to do those updates. This is a pretty big investment by us because of the overhead that's going to be required to run that on the API calls and everything else. So I'm talking over probably most of your head there, but for those of you that kind of understand the process, just be aware that we're going to be opening that up to podcasting apps. If they have questions, they should contact us via our contact form, either at blueberry.com or at Raw Voice, and we'll have a discussion with them. It's the process to get started is really, really simple, but we think this is important. We want to make sure that no one in the podcasting space ends up having their podcasting first favorite podcasting app go dead because Google Reader's pulling the plug. We were kind of surprised that so many podcatchers are using, not even telling you they're using that as their mechanism to update RSS feeds. So anyway, that's all we're going to have for the show tonight. I want to thank people that sent emails in. I want to remind you guys that you can reach out to me on Twitter at Geek News. Email address is geeknews@gmail.com. Hotline is 619-342-7365. Don't forget, support our sponsor over at GoToMeeting. Use the promo code PODCAST when you get that 30-day free trial. Don't forget, you can get $1 a month economy hosting for a year by using the promo code HOSTDEAL2. You can get that 35% off new products and services by using GO35OFF5. And of course, you can get the $295.com for using Geek295. All my GoDaddy codes are at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. It's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. It's been a lot of fun. Be back with you Thursday. Here we're getting snow on Wednesday. Oh, shoot me. No snow, please, please, please. Snow, go away. Looks like maybe my mom and I are going to be able to connect up on Friday before I fly back. We'll see how her schedule works out and how mine does. But and if any of you are in the Indianapolis area, you need to email me right now. If we want to do a meetup Friday night, now's the time to email me and we'll get something together. But if you don't email and don't reach out, don't worry, I'll be happy just to go out and have dinner with myself. You're missing out on a free meal because those of you come to the Hangouts know I buy lunch or dinner. So everyone else, take care. We'll see you next time. It's been my pleasure to bring the show to you today. I hope you've enjoyed it. Take care. Aloha.